Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And they went. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Let's pray. Lord, we ask at this time that you would inspire gratitude in our hearts. And we pray that you would make us totally receptive to your spirit and responsive to your will. Be glorified, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Please be seated. All right, now I tried this earlier and it didn't work. Probably because no one had coffee yet. So, I'm going to ask, is there anything here someone would just like to say thank you, God, for? And something good that's happened this year that you just need to say thank you, God? Rachel. For making who feel better?
Nanny.
For making Nanny feel better? Right, thank you, God. We had a delayed birthday party for my mom because she was faking sick. No, she was really sick. Yeah. Anyone else to shout out a thank you, God, for? All right. Thank you for family and cousins coming to church. Welcome. Yeah. Oh, Colin? Thank you for food. My boy. Heather? Thank you for health. Yes. Yeah, Christelle got her driver's license, so thank God for that. And thanks for our kids most of the time, most of the days, yeah. Right on, thank you for kids. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for family.
Thank you for Israel.
Thank you for Israel. I pray for their peace today. Marjorie? Right. Yeah. If you didn't hear, thank you for Gordy Cole and all the people he's touched through his life. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Homes and shelter. Right on. Yes?
Thank you for candy.
For candy? Let's get first things first. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. Okay, well, you thought that was it, right? Well, stand up, please, just for a moment, because it's not enough just to say thank you. We need to praise God for everything. So, we're going to do this a cappella. Okay, you ready? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Well done. Please be seated. In the gospel reading today, we read about a healing, a miraculous healing. And there are lots of stories about Jesus and healing people in a miraculous way. And they all say, well, Jesus is God. Of course he healed them. But today, the weird thing about this passage is that it's not about the healing. It's about the response to the healing. And so as we look at this today, I was hoping that, you know, last few weeks, something's been really weighing on me is that in our society, we have this spirit of entitlement, that I am owed something. And that kills the spirit of faith and gratitude. And so in order to combat that spirit of entitlement, we need to praise God. We need to thank God every day for the things he does for us, for who he is and who he's called us to be. So I want to look at this passage today because there's so much in it. And my prayer is that it will inspire us to take note of the things that we ought to be thankful for and what we're invited to praise God in. So we'll begin at the beginning. I'm going too far here. Here we go. So now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a no-name village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." As you know, I love to ride a motorcycle. And one of the things I love about riding a motorcycle is that it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And if you're not present in the journey, one, you're robbing yourself of a lot of joy. But also, it's just not safe. Because you people driving cars are the problem. You don't see us. So you really need to be alert and present in the moment to be safe and to enjoy it. And because I'm so focused when I'm riding, I do my best praying on the bike. My mom said she would too, because she'd be like, "Oh Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me." But I'm just able to pray because I'm so focused on everything. I'm more focused there than anywhere else. And I just love that. We can't just skip over the first verse here where it says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem." That's important. And we know that Jesus, when he goes to Jerusalem, it's not just going there for a holiday. He's going there to suffer and to die. And he knows it. This is the third time in Luke that we're told he's going to Jerusalem. And it's not by accident that this is here. Many of us, when we are facing trials, or we have grief, or we are ill, we kind of shrink in on ourselves, don't we? We don't want to be a burden to anyone, but also we can't handle anybody else right now. We're dealing with what we've got. But Jesus isn't like that. And maybe it's his going into this way of suffering that he's able to relate more to people as they suffer. But he's in the middle of nowhere, in a nowhere place, and he sees these people who are suffering. Jesus models grace amidst this oncoming hardship. He's about the journey, not just the destination. And he's in this place of cultural tension, and he's encountering people who were necessarily excluded from the wider community because they wanted to reduce the risk of spreading disease. So we're going to step back for a second, and we're going to just look very briefly at leprosy, because it's Thanksgiving. Lepers in Jesus' day would have included far more people than the people that we would actually say have leprosy today. Today, people who suffer from leprosy, it's called Hansen's disease, and it's a bacterial infection, and it's a horrible, horrible disease. But if you look back in Leviticus, in the Torah, in chapter 13, it has a big list of nasty skin conditions. Now, I hate to tell you this, but within those conditions, I have to tell you that in a biblical sense, I am a leper. Because I have eczema. And Kimberly, you're a leper too. Anyone with skin cancer? Yeah, you're a leper. Anyone with psoriasis, anybody with all kinds of skin conditions, you would have been kicked out of here, kicked out of the city, out on the outskirts, in a leper colony, and you couldn't come back until you showed signs that you were healed. Happy Thanksgiving. So in Leviticus 13:45, it says, "Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover up the lower part of their face, and cry out, 'Unclean! Unclean!' And as long as they have this disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp." So, this was all to protect the wider community, right? To keep a distance. So when Jesus sees these people and they call to him from afar off, it's because they had to stay far off. In some ways, and this might sound a little strange, it could be that we could envy lepers because their disease could not be hidden. And people would know their brokenness. It would be on display. And they would know what they needed to do. I don't know if you've ever had a sickness and there was no cause. It's terrifying because you know something's wrong. But without a diagnosis, you can't do anything about it but wait. And that's so hard. Jesus heard them call to him. And it says that he saw them. Even when we hide our secret brokenness from each other, Jesus sees you. And if you call out to him, he hears you. And that's something we need to remember. Back to the story. So when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, many, many moons ago, I was trained in pastoral care at the hospital. And one of the things that they told us was that when you go into the hospital room, you're going to see monitors, and you're going to see IV sacs, and you're going to see hoses and needles and all kinds of things that are designed to distract you because they're weird, right? But when you go in to visit someone, and this applies to all of us, when we're visiting a loved one in the hospital, don't look at the monitor. Don't look at the IV. Don't look at the hoses in the arm or under the bed. We need to look right at the person. Because the doctors need the information on the monitors and the nurses need to know what's going on with the IV sacs, and that's where they put their attention. But when we're sick and in the hospital, too often people, we forget that we're people. We're patients of this or that or the other disease. So when we go in, we need to focus on the person. Jesus sees these lepers on the road. He sees us in our need. And when he looks at us, Jesus doesn't flinch. He has compassion. And he says to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Now, why on earth would you do that? Any guesses? Because back in Jesus' day, priests actually worked for a living, not just on Sundays. They had things to do. And one of the things they did is that people would come and say, "I have this weird rash thing. Am I safe to be in community?" And they'd say yes or no, based on the Torah. Priests did all kinds of stuff. But that's why they looked at this. So go show yourself to the priest, because the priest, if he saw you, that you were healed, he would make a sacrifice on your behalf. He would make you at one with God again. You'd be reinserted into the community, and everything would be back to normal. So go show yourself to the priests. And these people needed physical healing. They needed to be reintegrated into society, and they needed that spiritual healing too. Too often people say, "Well, I'd like to do this for God, but I have to get myself right in this area first." But it's really important here that Jesus says, "Go." And it's in the going that they are healed. Because faith is not a destination. Faith is the journey. It was in the going that they were healed. And our obedience to the commands of Jesus are the means of faith. It's the journey itself, because we're trusting him with it. It is Jesus who sorts us out and not we ourselves. So here we get to the heart of the passage and the point of the passage. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. Okay, here we go. It's not the healing that is the focus, it's the thanksgiving. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus told him to go to the priest, and he didn't. But he's not rebuked for it. And some people think, well, he must have gone to the priest later. Actually, I think Luke is trying to tell us something about who Jesus is. Go to the priest and show yourself to the priest. He went to the high priest. He went to Jesus. And the priest would have made a sacrifice for this man, right? Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for this man to heal him physically, to heal him socially, and to heal him spiritually. It's at this point where Luke points out something, that this is not just a leper, it's a Samaritan. And for Jews, Samaritans were religious duds. They were corrupt, they were unfaithful. But it's only him, and we assume that the other nine were Jewish people. But it was only him who went to the high priest and presented himself. Lifted from the depths of his pain, this man was moved to a place of deep gratitude. If we do not appreciate how much we've been forgiven or healed, it's really hard to show any thanks, any genuine thanks for it. But he praises God with a loud voice. And then he comes to Jesus and he falls down at his feet in a posture of worship. And it is to Jesus that he gives thanks to. Now, I'm really bad at Greek, you know this, but the word that is used here for this giving thanks is Eucharisteo. Does that sound familiar? It's Eucharist. And that word is used 37 times in the Bible, and every time it is in direction toward God. But here it is used towards Jesus. And it is so fitting. Jesus doesn't rebuke him. He accepts it and affirms it. Jesus says, "We're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise except for this religious dud?" Then he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So here, the faith of the outsider is commended. Jesus, in verse 19, it says, he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the last thing I want to say, I promise. The word here, according to N.T. Wright, who is a New Testament scholar, the word used for that, early Christians would have said, that's resurrection. That's the word for resurrection. It's a dead body getting up and going. And early Christians would have said, wow, this man has been resurrected. Too often, we are living in our brokenness, and we are living in our illnesses and the resentments that we store up in our heart. But the same thing that that Jesus said to this man, he says to us, get up and go. Believe. Live out your belief. Don't be defined by your brokenness or your grief or your resentment. Be defined by who you are in me. You are a child of the King. So go and live. So how are we to grow in thanksgiving? This is our central calling as followers of Jesus, to be those who thank and praise God. Well, we are to know that in our hidden brokennesses, we are seen by Jesus, by the God who loves us. We are to know that faith is not arriving at a destination. It is a journey that we are to follow Jesus in obedience. We are to practice praise. It is appropriate, and it establishes a right relationship with God. And finally, we are to get up and go. We are to enter this new life of the resurrection of the kingdom and see that God's reign is extended through us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you see us. We thank you that you call us. And we pray that you would fill us with the spirit of thanksgiving, that we might be agents of praise in this world and draw people into the same celebratory dance that you invite us to. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.